I'm Pat Duggins, Alabama Public Radio News. Time for another edition of StoryCorps, recorded in Mobile. 45-year-old Chris Champ Napier spoke with StoryCorps facilitators about his challenging upbringing in Pritchard, Alabama. He was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison, but received a pardon after 14 years. With a second chance at life, Napier has written a book, does motivational speaking at schools and prisons, and has made it his mission to live by his grandmother's last words to him.
Were there any specific conversations with your grandmother that stuck with you? Or maybe what your last conversation with her?
My last conversation, she was telling me that she loved me and that she wanted me to get out and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that have always stuck with me. And I think that she died like 2 weeks later. During the time that she died, I was inside of Alabama prison system serving a life sentence for first-degree murder and 7 years for distribution of crack cocaine. So with the possibility of knowing that I didn't have a chance to go to her funeral because of the Department of Corrections policy. And notice I said Department of Corrections, not Department of Corrections. So Department of Corrections policies, because I had gotten into several fights and my level of custody, they wouldn't let me go to my grandmother's funeral. So
that must have been really difficult.
Yeah, I was bent on self-destruction. At that particular time, I just felt that, you know, that my world was over with. That's one of the most awful aspects of my life now, that I know that if she was alive, she'd be proud of me for what I'm doing. Because when I went to prison, she had two of her sons, a nephew, and her grandson in prison. I made her second grandson that had went to prison. And she, the last time I remember talking to her, she was like, baby, get out and stay out.
Was there at any point in before your conviction that you thought about changing your ways?
Yeah, after I had was so deeply emotionally entwined into the drug game, I seen a lot of my friends start suffering, getting strung out, going to jail, getting shot. Myself started getting high off my own supply. So was selling weed, selling crack cocaine, but actually start snorting cocaine because we said it was the rich man high. So a lot of people didn't know that a lot of drug dealers was addictive, not just to the lifestyle, but addictive to some type of forms of intoxicant.
And so when you saw your friends, was it the drugs that prevented you from taking that next step, or sort of the structural obstacles?
Never had any way out. At several times that I wanted to quit, and seeing my friends, close friends, some of my people that I consider family members get strung out and start suffering from this lifestyle, that on the inside I was like, it's got to be a better way.
Do you think that you have been influential in anyone else's life since?
Oh, yes. I have a lot of people that I think that every day that I have, like, older people tell me they're proud of me, that everybody just, you know, like, when they heard about the book, they seen my documentary, they may see me at school, they may see me talking to the kids, they be like, man, we're just proud of you. I got some close associates that have been there for 43 years, and they be like, man, we're proud of you. We hope that, you know, we'll be able to get out. But if we don't make it out, don't let the state have my body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what can you say to a man that's been locked up 40 years who do not want the state to have his body? It's kind of hard to just
put a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Do you think about those people who are still locked up?
I have a lot of them. Actually, one of my mentors, the one that introduced me to the Holy Quran and the religion of Islam, he went back to prison, and I learned from his mistakes.
Uh-huh.
So I always say a prayer for him. I just say for anybody that, you know, hopefully they get out and help me fight against the social ills that exist and the negativity that attach to people who have been to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to hold myself up as a beacon of light and hold and be ready to pass the torch to them and hope that they can help me in this fight against prison reform.
Napier's book is called Poverty and Prison, Frustrations from My Past. These interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, StoryCorps.org, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Alabama Public Radio and are sponsored by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.